أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والذين هم
Before discussing my foreign tours, I would like to continue with my subject of the life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I had thought to discuss every aspect of the life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then because of my tours, then according to the local needs of those countries, I was discussing their subjects, and although I was thinking that I will be able to continue with the same subject during my tours. But as I said, because of local needs, other subjects were discussed. Although, as is my custom, that in those sermons also, I was discussing the subject of spiritual training in the light of the aspect of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life and his teachings. But I could not continue the sermons on specifically on the subject of his life, except one in the Canadian Jalsa. And today I want to start that subject again, and inshallah it will continue, but during this time, because of the annual gathering, some other subjects may have to be discussed. In any case, as I have said before, that it is impossible to tackle all aspects of his life. It can never be covered. But the few glimpses of various aspects that has reached us, and after listening to those events and after reading them, whatever spiritual change can be brought about with a man and by reading those incidents, that will definitely take us to the nearness of God. Today also Allah will, with the blessing of the nearness to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and because of his great stations, spiritual station, and also because of acting on his teaching, Allah can grant us nearness, his nearness. May Allah enable us to do so. And in the Holy Quran, Allah says, and he also has declared in the Holy Quran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. That tell them that O mankind, if you love Allah, then follow me. In that case, he will also love you and will forgive your mistakes, and Allah is most forgiving and ever merciful. So you can see, this is a very clear declaration that because of his love and because of that, to obey him and to follow him is not limited to his time, but it is an ongoing command that if you were to do this, you will gain proximity to Allah. And now there is only one means to attain nearness to Allah, and that is that you should follow the example of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that you can gain love of Allah and nearness to him. May Allah enable every Ahmadi to understand this most important point. The aspect of the life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I want to touch today is the trust and honesty, and to adhere to trust, fulfilling of trust. It is such an aspect which we need in every section of society, in every nation, in every country. In one way or another, we see that there is a lack in this respect, and we need to remind them of it. Those who are honest and are continuing with their trust or protecting their trust, they ignore it and they don't even adhere to their promises and keep their trust. But the standard which our Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam set with his action, with his practice, with his life, and has had admonished his followers to follow them by setting his own example. And to be honest and trustworthy, and has set high standards of adhering to one's promises. They are the only standards by following which one can gain proximity to Allah. Outside it, one can find no station. The verse that I had recited, Allah says that those who watch over their trusts and their covenants, the one who adhered to it the most was our great guide, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is why Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, said that if you want to see his character, it is the teachings of the Holy Quran, which means that every act which he performed was according to the Holy Quran. For example, you see that these days the wars are fought, and those nations who claim to be highly civilized, and they use such means and such weapons that even the humanity can feel ashamed. Because of the wars, the fire of animosity is raging so strongly that their aim is only to disgrace and bring low the other nations and to destroy them. They do object that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did fight for to gain some of his aims. All these are allegations, baseless allegations. At the present I am not discussing this subject, but I will mention an incident during one of the wars which shows his practice, that in a situation when one wants it to make force his enemy in such situations that they can disarm himself. What was the great example which the Holy Prophet ﷺ displayed and demonstrated in such situation? The history bears witness to it. When the Muslim army surrounded Khaybar, a fortress, and then a shepherd who was a Jewish boy, he entered the area of the Muslim army and accepted Islam, and he's visited the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and submitted that, "O the Messenger of Allah, I have become a Muslim. I don't want to go back. I have this herd of goats. What shall I do? Because the owner is a Jew." The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you should face these goats towards their fortress. And goad them, let them go that way. And then the owners took those goats and took them inside the fortress. So this is the high example of this honesty and trust which he did. Does anyone take this into account these days in the war, rather than they try to deprive someone of their rights or whatever they had borrowed from them, they don't want to return? This was the feeling and deep feeling of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in realization that in such a situation, when he was having an opportunity to take control of their herd, he thought this would be illegal. Because of as the army was surrounding the fortress, nothing could have gone from outside, and these goats could have provided the food to the army, and because they could have it had a longer encirclement. And so the Holy Prophet ﷺ said that a man who has been put in trust of a property of someone else, he has become Muslim, and he must not breach the trust after becoming a Muslim. So the first lesson he gave him when he accepted Islam, that you must never breach the trust. So whatever is the situation, you must obey Allah's command that they watch over their trust, and they must restore that trust to the owner. So this is the that in such a situation of siege of a fortress, he had demonstrated the highest level of honesty and of keeping in view their trust, because the Muslim could have used those goats as food, and in some people's eyes this might be lawful because it could be the booty that you had in the war. But the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, this is a breach of trust, and whatever you take with breach of trust, it is unlawful for a Muslim. So this is the lesson for us, and this is the example of the Holy Prophet ﷺ which he set for us. There are some other examples which I will put before you. In his pious nature, this high morality was found in him before his claim to prophethood. But after the revelation of the Holy Quran, that was that shone brighter. So there is also a lesson in the in such incidents, which is to adhere to the trust. Some decent people of Mecca, they had made a compact with the Holy Prophet, which was called Hilful Fuzul. That is before he became a prophet, when he was a young man. When the Makhzum, referring to this compact, asked him to help him, he immediately got up. Although after his claim to prophethood he was in dire situation, and Abu Jahl was the vilest enemy, but many people might have, the other people of the compact, the parties of the compact, might have even forgotten. But because he had made a promise, he even honored it even after that. And he immediately accompanied him to Abu Jahl and let him and made him to give his trust, his right. His honesty and his trustworthiness was so well known right from his young age that the idolaters of Mecca used to call him by the name Amin, that is trustworthy. So therefore, when the leaders of the Quraysh decided that whosoever come first will place the black stone in its place, when they saw him coming, they automatically said, Hazil Amin, that he is the man who is trustworthy, he will make the best decision. And then the world witnessed that how great the decision he had made, which satisfied all those parties. There is another incident before his prophethood, which it is reported by Abdullah bin Hamza, that I had made a trade pact with him, and I owed him some money. I said, please stay here and I will bring the money. He said, when I came home, I forgot about it. So after 3 days, I went back and he was still standing there. When he said to him, that, oh, young man, you put me in trouble. I am waiting here for the last 3 days. That he honored that in such a way, as he said, I will wait for you. And because he had spoken these words, that I am waiting for you, then he stayed there or used to go there in different times over 3 days, especially at the time when he had said, wait here, I will come back. So he stayed there and visited those places again and again to wait for him. So these were the standards he set of his honoring the trust. There is another report when he was still young that Hazrat Khadija gave him some property to trade, and she had sent a slave with him, and when he painted his picture of her honesty and trust, Hazrat Khadija was so impressed with it that she sent a message of marriage, a proposal of marriage. Then when he claimed to be a prophet, then from among the Meccans one stood up and bore the testimony, and he addressed all the Quraysh and declared, which is Nadr bin Haris, he said, addressing the Quraysh, that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a young boy among you and has grown up among you. He is the most truthful and is most trustworthy. When you saw old age coming and a sign of it in his hair, then, and he has brought a teaching, you said he is a liar. By God, he is not so. So the qualities which people saw in the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his young age, and the decent people of among them bore witness, and those who were raising objection against him, finding faults with him and opposing him, they never said you tell lies and we never found you trustworthy. They all remained silent. Rather, from among the Meccans, when the opposition was in full force and the leaders were opposing him, even then people used to put their property in trust with him, because they knew he is the only trustworthy, that if we put something in trust with him, it will never be lost. So how the Holy Prophet did his duty to it, that when he was going to migrate from Medina, from Mecca, that is when he was going to go out of Mecca, he had many trusts with him, but he made the arrangement that they should be restored to them. In this regard, you can see what great example he set. When he decided to immigrate, decision was made with the command of Allah that he should migrate, then the idolaters of Mecca were after his life, that if he were to make arrangements to restore trust, then people would have known and he would face danger. But he also was concerned that he must give those trusts back. No one has the courage to say that he left without giving our trusts back. We thought he was trustworthy and we have been deceived. So the Holy Prophet ﷺ made the arrangement that he appointed Hazrat Ali and gave all those trusts to him, that he should restore them to their owners. And he said to Ali that you have to stay in Mecca till you have given all these trusts back to their owners. So this truthful and trustworthy man, even at that dire situation, he said to his beloved Ali that these people have made arrangement to expel me from this city. But my high standard of truthfulness and trustworthiness demands that we should restore these trusts safely to their owners. So whereas he show great examples of trustworthiness and honesty, he also admonished his followers that you must set these standards and must keep in mind and view even in minor matters. For example, the relationship of husband and wife. He admonished that these are also trust. You must protect. Hazrat Sayyid Khudri, may Allah be pleased with him, reports that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, on the day of judgment in the sight of Allah, the greatest breach of trust will be that a man, he should tell the secret of his wife. These days in society, sometimes husband and wife do talk their private matters to their parents. And this sometimes create unpleasantness and quarrels starts. Sometimes the parents have the habit that they search out and ask the children their private matters, and then the same things become a basis of their quarrels. So therefore the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, these private matters between husband and wife, no matter what type they are, it is neither their right to tell others, nor the other people should listen to them. So if we were to follow his advice, in my view, many of the quarrels will resolve automatically. Then the Holy Prophet ﷺ advising us says, that it is reported that the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, you should return the trust to the one who put the trust in you, with you, and do not breach the trust with one who breaches the trust with you. So you can see how the Holy Prophet ﷺ has discharged his duty to restore those trusts. Then warning us, he said, this is Hazrat Abu Hurairah, reported by Hazrat Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a hypocrite has three signs: that when he speaks, he tell lies; when you trust him, he breaches that trust; and when he makes a promise, he breaks that promise. So this is a frightful situation. May Allah protect every Ahmadi from such a suffering situation, and always they be included among those who are trustworthy and they fulfill their promises. There is another report that the Holy Prophet ﷺ always said, that whosoever does not honor his trust, his faith is useless, and those who do not fulfill his covenant and promise, he has no faith. Beside setting high standards from his own practice, what examples did he show to fulfill his promises and covenants? How the enemies bore testimony for that. Hazrat Ibn Abbas report, may Allah be pleased with him, that Abu Sufyan mentioned to me that at the time when there was a compact of Hudaybiyah between us, there was a truce between us, I was still in Syria, that there was a letter reached to him which was brought by Qalbi. He had gave it to the leader of one of the person of Basra that he should take it to Harkal. When it reached him, he said that the man who is claiming to be a prophet in Arabia, is there anyone who knows him? And some people, they said, have come from there, so the Quraysh were called as a group. So when we went to him in his court, we was made to sit in front of him. They said, is there a near relative among you of this Arabic prophet? So he said, I'm a relative. So he asked me to sit in front of Harkal and let my companion sit beside. Then the translator was called and Harkal said, "These people who sit in front of me, tell them that I would ask some questions to Abu Sufyan about this prophet. If he tells a lies, those who are sitting behind should point out that he's telling lies." Abu Sufyan said that if I did not had this fright that these people will tell if I was telling lies, I would have told all lies. So this is a longish report. He asked many questions. One was about the trust and the compact. And he said after many questions, Abu Sufyan reports that has he ever broken his promise and rebelled against it? He replied that not in the past, but now we have made a compact. It looks he might not keep it. So the Abu Sufyan says, in the whole talk, there was nothing I could talk against him except this point. So at his answers, Harkal said, that has he ever done rebellion? He said, never do. And he said, this is the quality of the prophets, that he never break their promise or rebel, and nor do they ever breach their trust. They are always truthful and adhere to what they say. So these people did not open their hearts, whereas Harkal understood the truth. It's only Allah who opens one's mind to understand the truth. So there is also another example which is without parallel, which has been mentioned in the history, that the compact of Hudaybiyah, the truce of Hudaybiyah was being drawn, that Abu Jandal came while he was chained. And the Muslims wanted to visit Mecca. And now when they saw the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam making the truce and returning, the Muslims were very depressed. So Suhail bin Amr saw his son Abu Jandal in his chains, and slapped him and said to the Holy Prophet ﷺ, "O Muhammad, we have before his coming we have made a truce between us, and I will not let my son go with you," whereas this was wrong. Anyway, the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, "What you say is true." And Suhail wanted to pull him back. Abu Jandal started shouting that, "O the messenger of Allah and O my brother Muslims, would I be returned to the idolaters that they continue to torture me?" The Muslims felt very grieved. And the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, "O Abu Jandal, show patience for another few days. Soon Allah will create good opportunity for you." And I have been appointed, and the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, and the Arabic words mean that we have made a compact with each other on this. And we will not breach this trust anymore. That we will not breach this trust any longer. And although he was hurt, but the Holy Prophet ﷺ honored the truce and adhered to it, whereas the contract was just written and even the ink wasn't right, and Abu Jandal had reached there. But the Holy Prophet ﷺ, who set high standards of covenants and trust and promises, he realized that one should watch one's compact and promises and trust. And he said, "You must show patience and show restraint, and I am compelled to follow these compacts. And how greatly Allah rewarded him and those people who were forced to show restraint and patience, that even the idolaters and the disbelievers made certain moves which broke the covenant, and the Holy Prophet ﷺ conquered Mecca. Also, during the war, especially in Jang-e-Badr, that if they got more aid, it will still not be enough, because the disbelievers had prepared well for the war. And the Holy Prophet ﷺ stopped two people to take part in the war. Huzaifa bin Yaman reports that there was an obstacle in the way to take part in the Badr, that I and my companions were caught by the disbelievers. They said, you want to support Muhammad? They said, no, we only want to go to Medina. They took the promise from us that we will go back to Medina and will not fight with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he reports that we visited the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told him about this incident, and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you both should return and fulfill the promise you have made with us. We will seek Allah's help to oppose them. So this was the practice of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is in dire need of hands in the army, and he needs every man they can find. But no one gives importance to such promises which are forced out of them by the opponent and the enemy. But the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, you must honor your promise and Allah will help us. And now you see how Allah greatly helped the Holy Prophet ﷺ. There is another incident which shows that how rigidly he adhered his contract and compact. It is reported that Hazrat Rafir said to him that the Quraysh made me to go to the Holy Prophet ﷺ. When I saw the Holy Prophet ﷺ, the love of Islam reached my heart, and I said, by God, I will not go back to the disbelievers. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said, I do not imprison the delegates from them and the ambassadors, nor I can let you go back to your contract. So he said, you can go back, and if you want to return, you can do. And he said, that is exactly what I do. I went back to the disbelievers and then came back and accepted Islam. So right from the day one, when somebody became Muslim, the Holy Prophet ﷺ took the promise, firstly, you must not breach the trust, nor you must adhere to your compacts and your promises. The grandeur of the trustworthiness of the Holy Prophet ﷺ is mentioned by the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, which gave a few glimpses of this great standard. He says that with all the moral qualities of human qualities, which is the physical or spiritual, that what qualities the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given, that is the perfect man. And the perfect man, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَعَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا, that according to this verse, that إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَعَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا, that you should return the trust to those who are worthy of it or deserve it. Then the perfect man gives all his qualities back to God. And this great station is to be found on our great leader, the truthful and the trustworthy our Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is the trust that you must use at the right opportunity and the right occasion all your powers and capacities which Allah has bestowed on you. You should use them according to the teaching of the Holy Quran, which should do your duty to God and duty to man. But you should spend every moment in this deep thinking and pondering, that you have to spend all your powers to fulfill those rites. Only then you can say that he has honored all his trusts and promises and has done his duty towards it. So the whole promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam says, if you were to examine the life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we see that the highest standard which was set in all these moral qualities we find displayed and demonstrated by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is the good example of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which by following which we can gain proximity to God. And Promised Messiah says further, how fortunate are the people who purify their hearts, and they should remove all ill from it and make a compact of faithfulness with God and devotion to him, because they will never go to waste. Allah will never let them go to be disgraced, because they belong to God and God belongs to them. May Allah enable every Ahmadi to fulfill their promises and their pledges, and we should be included in those fortunate people who would be beneficiary of the prayers which the Holy Prophet ﷺ has done for his followers, and also the beneficiary of the prayers of Hazrat Promised Messiah ﷺ, and should always do their duty to all their promises and fulfill all their promises and honor their trusts. I want to mention one other point, that in certain countries of the world where the majority of the Muslims and the Ahmadiyya Jamaat is mentioned, they are opposing the Ahmadid actively. We have no reach to any worldly king or president or any other one in power, and nor do we depend on them. We bow to God and prostrate to him and beg his help. Therefore, especially these days, you should pray much that Allah may protect every Ahmadi from any harm. Especially in Indonesia these days, there is much disturbance, and we were holding a gathering there and the opponent attacked them. And today in one of the city, which I'm forgetting the name today, just now, they had a program to attack them. And today they have attacked a mosque there. Some Ahmadis have been wounded. And the civil administration is not helping them in any way. They have asked our members to vacate the mosque. May Allah deal with these opponents himself and protect the Jamaat against all harm. We know this in any case, and every Ahmadi must know that whenever Jamaat will advance, such opposition will happen, and their fire of jealousy will inflame. But when the fire of the enemy's jealousy rages, then it's Ahmadi's duty to prostrate and pray for himself, for his inspiring his faith, and whatever pledge he has made of Baya, he should try to fulfill it. And he should also protect the Jamaat as a whole from all mischief. And you should also pray that Allah may give courage and patience and steadfastness to the affected Ahmadis and always keep them under his protection and protect them against all mischief. Ameen.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.
Allahu Akbar.
MTA International, reaching the corners of the earth.
Hamara khilafat pe iman hai, ye millat ki tanzeem ki jaan hai. Hamara